If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Thank you very much, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. Thank you, RJ Hinder. Welcome to this audience. Well, we have updates out of Seattle. You'll remember that four police officers were gunned down in a coffee shop on Sunday in Lakewood, Washington, a suburb of Seattle. Well, as it turns out, the next night, being last night, they had a house surrounded, believing that the suspect was in there. And we talked about that on the show yesterday. It was still going on. They had done a bunch of sound devices and all kinds of stuff. Finally, they breached and went in there and found the house empty. The guy was not in there. They had been misled. So as it turns out, the suspect, Maurice Clemens, has been shot and killed by police. And all of this went down within about the last 45 minutes or so. So this is pretty breaking news. I'm going to read this story to you. It would appear as though that Clemens was helped out quite a bit by friends and family after he shot the police. So there's going to be a lot of people getting arrested for this. I actually was literally walking into the studio about 30 seconds before the intro music played because I was delayed leaving home to get here because I was reading up on this story. So here it is. Seattle police shot and killed the fugitive suspect of gunning down four police officers in a suburban coffee shop, according to a sheriff's spokesman just this morning. Maurice Clemens was shot to death after, quote, a very alert patrol officer, end quote, tracked down a stolen vehicle linked to him. Ed Troyer, a spokesman for the Pierce County Sheriff's, gave that information to Fox News. Clemens, 37 years old, is suspected of murdering the four Lakewood police officers at a cafe Sunday morning in Parkland, a Tacoma suburb about 35 miles south of Seattle. Now, he was killed in a working-class neighborhood after police found him with the help of information about possible hiding spots. Shots were fired, said the spokesman. We're very happy that the Seattle police officer is okay. This could have turned out a lot worse, meaning the Seattle police officer that got into the gunfight with him. So this was a very heads-up cop. This cop was tracking down all kinds of leads, really looking at smaller, more difficult aspects, and was tracking down a stolen car. Once he did, he found the bad guy. And I got to tell you, cops are at a huge, just a massively state of alert when they're going after a suspect in police killings. Now, when we're talking about just a slaughter of four cops, so fingers on the trigger, slack is out when they're addressing these people, which is different than most because they've already shown the ability and the total mental capacity to kill cops. And one more isn't going to harm them at all. So, as it turns out, shots were fired, and this guy went down. So, going to give you a little bit more details on this after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back, everybody. So we're updating you with the information from the suspect in the killing of four police officers in Lakewood, Washington, south of Seattle on Sunday. The suspect went down in a gunfight shot by a Seattle police officer. Now, I said that this just went down about 45 minutes ago. That was a mistake. Actually, about 45 minutes ago, they arrested the suspected getaway driver in that police attack. There are several people involved in this. So Fox News was told that police arrested three people overnight on suspicion of rendering criminal assistance to the suspect. And a suspected getaway driver was caught early Tuesday about 6:30 a.m., which was now just about 40 minutes ago. He was picked up. That was the suspected getaway driver from the coffee shop where the police were gunned down. More arrests are coming, according to the sheriff's spokesman. We're also looking at family members who aided and abetted his escape. They did everything they could to hamper our investigation. We expect to have 6 to 7 people in custody by day's end. A gun belonging to one of the fallen Lakewood officers was found with Clemens after he was killed. He was reaching for it when he was shot on Tuesday, is what the police are saying. We know our suspect. He's not afraid to shoot cops. Police said they aren't sure what prompted Clemens to kill the officers as they did morning work on their laptops. They're basically doing a briefing at the coffee shop. Clemens was described as increasingly erratic in the past few months and has been arrested earlier this year on charges that he punched a sheriff's deputy in the face. There is no answer other than he was angry about being incarcerated. There's never going to be an answer that makes any sense, according to this spokesman. Authorities don't believe Clemens knew any of the officers he gunned down, but was just targeting police in general. Whoever was in there was going to suffer the wrath of what happened. Again, according to this police spokesperson, Troyer. At the scene of the Clemens fatal shooting, a couple of dozen police officers milled around, shaking hands and patting each other on the back after one of the largest manhunts in the region's history. Clemens had stayed on the run nearly 2 days with help from a network of friends and family who gave him places to stay, medical aid, rides, and money, according to police. Authorities believe they were planning to sneak him out of the state. On Monday, officers detained a sister of Clemens, who they think treated his gunshot wound, but later in the day she wasn't in custody, and her name has not been released. We believe she drove up to Seattle and bandaged him up. Police think people close to Clemens deliberately misled officers. Troyer said anyone who helped him could face charges, and they should. Don't think anybody helped him plan this murder. I said, we don't think anybody helped him plan this murder, he says. But it's been bailed out of jail. This family has enabled him. Even after this happened, after he killed four officers that continued to save him, they're going to pay for it. Authorities said the gunman singled out the Lakewood officers and spared employees and other customers at the coffee shop. He then fled, but not before he was shot in the torso by one of the dying officers. Troyer confirmed that Clemens did have an untreated gunshot wound when he was killed Tuesday. Clemens indicated the night before the shooting that he was going to shoot police and watch the news. So he had premeditated this, quite obviously. Police surrounded a house in Seattle neighborhood late Sunday night following a tip that Clemens had been dropped off there. After an all-night siege, SWAT teams entered the home and found it empty. So they'd been misled. Police frantically chased leads on Monday, searching multiple spots in the Seattle and Tacoma area, and at one point cordoning off a park where people thought they saw Clemens. Authorities found a handgun carried by the killer along with a pickup truck belonging to the suspect with bloodstains inside. They posted a $125,000 reward for information leading to Clemens' arrest and alerted hospitals to be on the alert and on the lookout for a man needing gunshot wounds, like they really needed to do that. We need to get him in custody, and we needed this to end. Authorities in two states were criticized amidst revelations that Clemens was allowed to walk the streets despite a teenage crime spree in Arkansas that landed him a 108-year prison sentence. He was released earlier than the then governor Mike Huckabee, when then governor Mike Huckabee commuted his sentence. Huckabee cited Clemens' youth in granting the arrest. In granting the request for clemency, for commution of his sentence. But Clemens quickly reverted to his criminal past, violating his parole, and was returned to prison where he was released again in 2004. This originally happened with Huckabee in 2000. This guy should have never been on the street, said Brian D. Wirtz, president of the police union in Lakewood. Our elected officials need to find out why these people are out. Huckabee said on Fox News' The O'Reilly Factor Monday night that Clemens was allowed back on the streets because prosecutors failed to file paperwork on time. Now, that sounds like a cop-out, Huckabee. That sounds like a really sorry, sad, lame cop-out. Pass the buck on to somebody else. Pulaski County Prosecutor Larry Jegley, whose office opposed Clemens' parole in 2000 and 2004, said Huckabee's comments were red herrings. My word to Mr. Huckabee is man up and own what you did. Good for you. Good for standing up to this guy. Troyer said authorities were disappointed by the former governor's remarks. What we take issue with is him in blaming us for something we had no control over. Clemens was charged in Washington State earlier this year with assaulting a police officer and raping a child, and investigators in the sex case said he was motivated by visions that he was Jesus Christ and the world was on the verge of apocalypse. But he was released from jail after posting bail with the assistance of Jail Sucks Bail Bonds. Well, that's a great name. Documents related to those charged indicated a volatile personality. In one instance, he is accused of gathering his wife and young relatives and forcing them to undress. The whole time, Clemens kept saying things like, trust him, the world is going to end soon, and that he was Jesus. Okay, so we're dealing with a real nut job, far end criminal. Now, hopefully this guy was actually not Jesus, because I wouldn't think that Jesus would conduct himself in such a manner. So, with that being said, we can move on past the I'm Jesus thing. It would seem as though, yet again, the cops went out, did their job, arrested somebody. The court did their job and put somebody in jail. I should actually say the jury did their job and convicted somebody of a crime. Now, oftentimes where this falls apart is in the court system. Well, in this case, the court system did their job in Arkansas. Where it failed was at the governor's desk. So Mike Huckabee, quite honestly, I mean, I enjoy the guy's politics, I do. But this is such a huge failing. Mike Huckabee ought to be arrested for accessory to murder. Because it is entirely Mike Huckabee that had this happen. He commuted the guy's sentence, the guy got out. Of course, he messed up, he went back in. But still, because the sentence was commuted, he went back in only for the amount of time he had to serve. Had the sentence not been commuted, he would have never gotten out. Had the sentence not been commuted and he got it on parole and he violated it, as he did, he would have been back in and stayed in. Had Mike Huckabee never gotten involved in this guy's case, these four cops would still be alive and a child would not be raped. So, for that instance, you know, as good a guy as Mike Huckabee seems to be, he's responsible. And I'm not a big favoritism kind of a guy. Mike Huckabee ought to be looked at as some sort of accessory to this. Now, and I know that there are legislative protections keeping that from happening. I'm not a fan of that sort of thing. Not at all. As far as the cop that found this guy, that went the extra mile, followed leads, and shot this Clemens guy to the ground, take a bow. Nicely done, officer. You deserve the time off with pay, and I am sure that many, many, many police are going to be patting you on the back. You should be obviously represented at the funerals of these officers. And quite honestly, you should be right up front with these guys, because it was your hard work with the assistance of a lot of other cops that got you into the point of shooting this guy down. And, good for you. Good for you. The name of the officer has not been released, the one that was involved in the shooting, per most department policies. It'll probably be a good couple of days before it comes out. A lot of departments have a 24, 48-hour, 72-hour, 96-hour waiting period, whatever it may be. So in the next couple of days, we will know which police officer actually was the one involved in taking Clemens down and, trying to effect an arrest and evidently shooting the guy, which doesn't surprise me that this guy went down in a hail of gunfire. It was probably one of these deals of, you're not going to take me alive. Oftentimes when you get guys that do this sort of crime, that is exactly the mental state that they're in. Otherwise, they wouldn't be seeking assistance from other people, and they would have turned themselves in. So in this instance, nicely done. Got plenty more show coming to you, so stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And welcome back. So here's a story that came out on Friday out of Chicago. Police say four people have been shot after a gunman stormed a Chicago restaurant and demanded money. Police were called to Margarita's Pizza around midnight Thursday. Investigators say one man is in custody, but police are looking for two others. It isn't yet clear if money was stolen. Police say a 61-year-old man shot in the chin and a 32-year-old woman shot in the torso were taken to John H. Stoger Jr. Hospital. A nursing supervisor said Thursday morning that the man is in critical but stable condition and the woman has been released. A 29-year-old man shot in the shoulder and a 22-year-old man shot in the torso were taken to Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Their conditions haven't been released. Police say they found a weapon, but no details have been released. So, in Chicago, four people were shot in a pizzeria. Then, 2 days later, four cops were killed in a cafeteria. Now, you might recall the name Susanna Hupp. Susanna Hupp is a Texas state legislator. And in 1991, she was sitting at, I believe it's called Luby's, L-U-B-Y apostrophe, Luby's Cafeteria in Killeen, Texas, eating with her parents when a crazy man drove his pickup truck into the restaurant, got out, and started shooting. He killed 23 people and wounded more than 20. So somewhere around 44, 45 people were killed. Now, the now representative, Susanna Hupp, is a huge gun rights advocate because she kept a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver for defense. However, at the time, the state legislature had kept her from being able to bring that gun into a restaurant. So instinctively, she reached into her purse for her .38, but realized she'd left it in the car, being a law-abiding citizen. Her father tried to rush the gunman and was shot in the chest and killed. And Susanna Hupp escaped through a window and bringing her mother with her, but her mother had stopped. Susanna hadn't realized this. Went back to try to take care of her husband. They'd been married forever. The police were on scene looking into the restaurant when they saw the gunman come back around to where Susanna's mother was holding her father. She looked up, he looked down, shot her once in the head and killed her. In front of police who were there. They'd been married 47 years. So, if there's any take-home message that I can see right now, that is, be sure to be armed when you're at a restaurant. And if at all possible, don't have your back to the door. I can't have my back to the door at a restaurant. I just can't. As a matter of fact, it's funny when Dave Champ and I go out to eat. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to have lunch today. It's funny when we go out to eat because oftentimes we have actually adjusted tables to where neither one of us has a back to the door. We're kind of angled towards the door. It's pretty comical, in fact, that we kind of angle towards the door just in case somebody decides to bust into that restaurant. Now, the little town that we're in Pahrump, Nevada, has a lot of people that carry guns. Not everybody. You still get funny looks by people who don't understand that maybe have just moved here from the city. But you still get funny looks from people who haven't been here for a while or just don't know anything about guns. The honest God think this gun's going to get out of the holster and start shooting on its own. Or, if you're carrying a gun, it's a banner that says, hey, I'm a psycho because I've got a gun on. They just don't seem to understand that the people that are out there that are armed are less likely to be a victim. And the police are very understanding about this. I actually remember being in my bank and I walked in knowing full well that there was a Nevada Highway Patrol officer in there. His car was outside. I could see him in his big hat when I was walking in, and I was carrying exposed. And he's in a conversation with a couple other people, and I could overhear the conversation. Oh, yeah, you know, if it's not against the rules with the bank, you know, private property, they can allow it, and, you know, it's totally legal. You can carry a gun exposed, and a lot of people around here do. And then he actually kind of gave me a little hat tip, just tipped his hat towards me a little bit, like he recognized me, I recognized him, I smiled and nodded back, and that was that. That was all the understanding we needed. And oftentimes it's just simply coming eye to eye. Hey, I understand you're armed, you understand I'm armed, all is well. So I know who to look for if bad guys rush in. And I know who to not be in front of just in case I get into their line of fire. So we're looking at restaurants now as being places that bad guys want to get into and rob and aren't afraid to shoot people. Folks, if you're going to get hurt, it's not necessarily going to be in your house or in your car. It's going to be out on the street percentage-wise. So if you're going to carry. Have a gun that you're going to carry all the time and carry it, regardless of what it is. Any gun is better than none and practice with it. Stay tuned. More to come.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Man, I dig that tune. So, some updates on yours truly. I've had a few emails checking in with me, seeing how things are going. First of all, I was telling you last week that my right shoulder was absolutely killing me, my trap. And actually it's not a whole bunch better. It's been a solid week and, I have been without the use of my right arm for the most part for about a week. It is absolutely killing me. I have a hard time doing much anything with this arm and, of course it's affecting my neck. So once it does get better, I'm going to have to go to the chiropractor and probably get a few adjustments. But this this thing is killing me. It's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. On top of that, my computer that I was having so much trouble with, on Friday the 13th, I did not do a show. Reason is, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, there was a four-day precision rifle class going on out at Frontside, the same class that I, at one point in time, had written the curriculum for and range mastered. And I was doing the Appleseed project that weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So I decided to crash the first day of precision rifle and just make sure the 308 gun that I had was all kinds of sighted in. So I went out there and crashed party and got a few rounds down range, and I had the gun sighted in pretty well. I got it completely nuts on. I mean, it is set up. And even with the mil-spec ammo, this particular gun, it's a Steyr Scout Tactical, which means it's a Steyr Scout, and it's all black. There's no gray inserts. To be tactical, something has to be matte black and usually have Velcro on it. This does not happen to have Velcro on the gun. But the gun is a great gun. It's maybe 6.5 or 7 pounds with the scope. It's got a 5-round box magazine, bolt action. Plus, it has another 5-round box magazine that sits in the stock, in the back of the buttstock, underneath, not against your shoulder, but underneath. So once you're done with 5 rounds, you can just swap magazines and you have 5 more. It's great. With match ammo, this gun will hold, you know, half-inch group, maybe a 3/8-inch group if the shooter is really doing his job. And I had mil-spec ammo in there, just surplus ammo. And even with surplus ammo, this thing was holding about an inch, inch and a quarter at 100 yards, which for that kind of ammo, especially in a gun that only has a barrel, I think the barrel's 19 inches, it's very, very thin, but it is fluted, and it is fully floated. Has an integral bipod in the fore end of the gun. It's really very cool. It's a fantastic rifle. I put a Shepherd scope on there. If you've never seen what a Shepherd scope is like, I encourage you to go online and look at it. Look up Shepherd scopes. They have a P1, a P2, and a P3, all basically designed for certain calibers that have bullet drop compensation built in there. So the scope is good, the gun is good, the ammo is good. I just wanted to get the thing really dialed in and get behind the gun a little bit before I did the Appleseed project that weekend. And things went well. But when I was there, I met a fellow by the name of Tom. Tom is a listener, and he lives in Vegas, and he is a Frontside member. And he had sent me a couple of emails about my computer when I was sitting here on the air bitching about how the thing did not work very well. And he is a network analyst. I believe Tom is a network analyst of some. Anyhow, the guy works with computers a lot. So he told me, he said, you know, if you give me that computer, I'll be happy to look at it for you. I'm like, wow, that's great. What an offer. So a couple of friends that I had that were in from out of town taking that class, I got them the computer on Friday night. They took it to Tom Saturday morning. And I heard from Tom yesterday. Evidently, he sent me an email a week or more ago about the computer. However, that email account, I only check on my BlackBerry, and evidently the sync went bad, and I didn't know it. I guess I should have noticed because I wasn't getting any emails off of that account for about 10 days. Anyhow, he says the computer's working, and it would seem as though it was, in fact, the high-end video card that is in this thing. Now, it is the thing that sucks is that this is an HP Pavilion Media Center Edition. So you're supposed to have all sorts of streaming video and all kinds of great, really, really neat graphics acceleration on this particular laptop. Now, I have done video editing on this thing. As it turns out, that's going to be curtailed a bit because he had to go to the standard VGA system, which is incorporated in every motherboard. But the computer's working and evidently doesn't have any blue screens or black screens, and the processor's up and running. So, although it's not perfect, it is relatively good to go. So I'm supposed to actually go pick that computer up today. I'm going to be headed into Vegas today. I've got a few things to do. If all goes well, I've told you about my widget target stand, and I built the final one in steel. I then took that steel one to an aluminum fabricating shop. They had it for 10 days and completely screwed this thing up. The guy that put the thing together was looking at it, not from the eye of, okay, I have a steel one and I need to duplicate it exactly, which was the instructions given. He decided that he could improve it. So what he did was he built my aluminum target stand in his version, which didn't work because this guy doesn't know anything about shooting or target stands or why I wanted to have certain things done a certain way. So 10 days later, and keep in mind, I started this project in October, figuring I'd try and get it to the SHOT Show in February. Okay. As it turns out, the SHOT Show's in January, so I'm a month behind. This guy put me 10 days further behind. But luckily, I was able to find another aluminum fabricator less than a mile from this guy who has it. I hope to pick that thing up today. If that is the case, I'll be taking both the aluminum and the steel one into Vegas to get some sort of a treatment put on them. I will probably get zinc plating on the steel and maybe like a zinc oxide or a powder coating on the aluminum. Once that is done, I have a couple of working prototypes that I can work with. And if the guy that built the aluminum one or is building the aluminum one, if he did a good job on it, because I probably spent 45 minutes talking with this guy. The other guys had just kind of dropped off, said, hey, here's a perfect working one. Copy it with these materials and left. Yeah, I should have spent more time. This next guy actually seemed very excited about the idea. And so I am very excited to see what he's done. We went over the whys, the wherefores. He had questions. Well, I would think maybe this, or I would think maybe that. No, that. You can't change those dimensions because of this. You have to keep this angle because of that. Everything works together. It's a very harmonious piece of equipment here. So he understood, and I'm very excited to look. If he did as good a job as I anticipate he did, I'll have him build several more in aluminum just so I can have a few working prototypes that I can take out and try to sell. Try to sell groups of these things based on these working prototypes. So that's what's going on. I also have a buddy of mine is flying in, so I'm going to pick him up. He and I and another buddy of ours are going to go see Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day. Evidently, that movie came out October 30th, but we were under the impression it wasn't playing anywhere in Las Vegas. It was playing just in New York and L.A. Well, as it turns out, I guess we were wrong, because I went on Fandango and happened to find a theater, which is a newer United Artists theater, right near the Las Vegas airport. It's like 4 miles from McCarran. So I'll pick up my buddy Jay, and we'll meet our other buddy Mike, and we're going to go see Boondock Saints 2. If you haven't seen Boondock Saints, go see it. Go rent the thing, and then try to catch Saints 2 while it's still in theaters. It's been in theaters for about 5 weeks, which means it's going to come out soon, if it hasn't already in certain areas. I can only recommend Saints 2 because Saints 1 was so good. I haven't seen it. You'll hear tomorrow how it was. Boondock Saints, about a couple of guys that are from the, I guess, Irish disciples. Irish descent in Boston that decide they've had enough of the scumbags in their area and decide to meet them head on. And there's a little force on force and a little bit of a, well, kind of a righteous kill sort of a feel in the deal. And quite honestly, for me, that sort of thing is a feel-good movie. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the next evolution in Saints 2. So those are some of the things that are going on with me. I was in contact with another listener who had sent me an email offering his assistance in getting to a fellow by the name of Lawrence, getting together with this business, putting together this target stand. So once I get some stands together and actually the finish on them, get some sort of plating or powder coating or something on these stands, something that's A, going to last a long time and really help keep the metals, especially the aluminum, from galling, and B, be economical and fast to be able to get on there. That's where I'm thinking zinc oxide. Powder coating, perhaps, but that's extra steps. We'll see. I'm going to go to the platers and talk to them. I might even have a few of these things done, different pieces of aluminum done in different types of platings, just so I can test them. I have several pieces of aluminum all the same size, five or six of them, that I could have them plate all or plate or finish all differently and then see. I'm not too worried about the steel. I mean, it's steel. It's more the aluminum, and that's kind of, it's a thicker walled aluminum, so it's pretty durable, but still, you want to keep the outside from galling, you know, looking pretty good. I also am tentatively have a meeting scheduled this weekend with a fellow that I know that's a very successful businessman that's got businesses in California, and he also lives part-time in Las Vegas. He actually lives half his week in L.A. and half his week in Vegas. And he has an online tactical company, Combat Tactical. So check that out online, Combat Tactical. And John has agreed to look at this stand and see it, and he might actually be able to give me a little bit of assistance in getting this thing marketed out there. So I'm looking forward to it. Really, this stand is so cool. It will literally replace probably 90% of the static target stands on the market today. And it's great. It would be good for a professional. It would be good for a specific range. Say you've got a shooting range that needs to have portable stands to move around their facility. The steel would be great for that. If you've got somebody who travels and does classes and brings stands with them, the aluminum version would probably be excellent for that. And if you're going to have a weekend or somebody that pulls this thing out a few times a year and goes out and does some shooting, either the steel or the aluminum, or I'm hoping to get one done up in a composite material, some sort of a very durable composite plastic of sorts. A couple of different uprights will be offered, whether you want to use 1x2 fir strips or 2x2 fir strips. Certainly, it's modular. You can change angles on this thing. It's really, really very cool. I am in the process of also getting together with another buddy of mine who's an inventor to try to get the paperwork started for the application process for a patent before I really get this thing released and get it up online. And yet another buddy of mine who's good at putting together websites. So I am dealing with a lot of friends. I'm glad to have a lot of friends and a lot of supporters to help me with this. The reason is this stand is, it's so bitchin'. It is so universal. If you want to just have a basic stand, well, this thing will do the job. If you want to have something that's completely universal and totally adaptable, it's the same stand. It will be price competitive for either. And the really, really cool thing about it is it collapses into a very small package. And when it's opened up, it's actually larger than your average stand, which means more stable. It's larger and more stable than the average standard, like H-frame kind of a stand that's on the market. And if you open this thing up and you want to put several stands together, they'll actually fit together. And you don't need to measure from one to the next how far apart they are, because the way that they fit together, the stands end up being 1 meter apart on center, which is the industry standard, about 38.5 inches. On center, 1 meter apart is the industry standard for having target stands. If you're going to do multiple targets, or if you're an instructor going to be running a class, or you have several people out on the line doing the same thing, 1 meter apart on center is the industry standard. And that's one of the features of the stand. When it folds out completely, the legs pretty much lock together. They stake together, and it's 1 meter on center. So I've got a lot of paperwork going on this thing for the patent application process. I've got a buddy of mine by the name of Ben working on that. He's an inventor, amongst other things, up in the Salt Lake area. So really looking forward to this thing growing wings and taking off. I have a lot of work to get done in getting some prototypes together and then maybe getting some done in about half size. That's going to be kind of difficult, but I want to get some done in half size, then set appointments with some of the folks that are in the industry, maybe such as Midway, Brownell, Sinclair, Cabela's, Bass Pro, some places like that that I anticipate will be at the SHOT Show, set up some appointments before the show, go in there, show them the stand, give them my pitch, let them know what the price points are, and let them retail these things out. Of course, I'll have them available on a website as well. And the neat thing is, guys, if one piece of this stand happens to break or get shot or otherwise get lost or something, if something happens to a single piece, the stand is not trash. You can actually order a replacement piece. Oftentimes with the stand, if you get the uprights and someone shoots the uprights or a ricochet hits it or something, you're out of a stand. Or you've got to find somebody with a shop to fix it. With mine, you can just order that one replacement piece. Everything's back in order. It's good to go. Additionally, since it collapses, you don't need to have a pickup truck to haul your stands around. You can throw them in your little car, or any vehicle for that matter, and go out to the range and have these things set up. So that's really, I'm so looking forward to getting this thing off the ground. I'm just up against the wall when it comes to time. However, I'm really looking forward to getting this thing up and going. So, with that said, we're coming up on a break. We've got some more stuff coming to you in the final segment. So stay tuned. More to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2AE Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
And welcome back. So, a couple of other things that are going on. I am doing my best to, by the end of next week, get everything lined up for the 2A Radio Defensive Handgun course. It's going to be coming up in March. That includes securing the range and some sort of deal or package on hotels. It's most likely going to be held, I'm trying to get it held, out at the range in Boulder City, Nevada. Boulder City is the home of Hoover Dam. It is outside of Las Vegas, about 20 miles or so. Boulder City just happens to be the only town in Nevada with no gaming. One of the several unique features of Boulder City. Boulder City was built as a federal establishment for the workers that were building Hoover Dam back in the 30s. They kept some of their old school laws, I guess is tradition. It is a beautiful little town. It's been referred to many times as God's country. Vegas is not far. Certainly Henderson is not far. As a matter of fact, there's actually a hotel casino called the Railroad Pass just right outside of town, which is officially outside of the city limits. It's right there in Henderson. It might even be unincorporated Clark County. I don't know. But it's there. Of course, there's nice casinos in Henderson. Of course, Vegas isn't very far. But Boulder City is a nice, sleepy little town. There is a small mountain range, kind of a hill range, between the Las Vegas Valley and Boulder City. Boulder City sits up a little bit higher. There's the lake. Lake Mead is right there. Hoover Dam is close. It's a beautiful area, and it is a nice range. On top of that, there's some old nostalgic hotels that are in Boulder City. So that'd be a very nice place to hold this thing. If you want to end up heading into Vegas at night and, party on Wayne, party on Garth, it's right there. If you'd like to keep it quiet and not have loud people in, up and down the halls 24 hours a day, Boulder City's a nice place to stay. You can leave Vegas in Vegas and actually go to a nicer, quieter place for the rest of your stay. Or stay in Vegas, come out and shoot, and then go back if you want to live it up. So I'm trying to get this thing appropriate for everyone. Boulder City is about an hour and a half from where I live, so I would probably just be staying out there along with the rest of the staff that'll be coming out. So, updates there. Just want to give you a heads up on that. Keep listening and keep checking 2aradio.com for updates. This weekend, the oldest files, I believe it would be May or June 2009, will be coming down off of the website. So if you need to get any of those, get them this week. They will be coming down, just so you know, to make room for the December shows that are coming up. I'd like to close by saying, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Global Research Hour coming up next, followed by Ernest Hancock.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.